you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
I'm Tracy Thomas, host of One for the Books, a live literary event series from LAist. We are back with guests, author Amanda Montell, and actor Bella Lavelle. You can find us on May 15th at the Crawford Family Forum. Tickets at laist.com/events.
LAist Studios.
I just loved it because downtown was that sense of community that I grew up with that I never had anywhere else in LA. Wow. Downtown gave me that.
LA is a city that's not easy to define. Angelenos all have very different experiences of this city. And the good stuff, like great food and things to do, is coupled with big issues like a lack of affordable housing and a homelessness crisis. Downtown LA can feel like a microcosm of all of this. And truly, it feels hard to put a label on the neighborhood. When you bring up the area, there are things you hear from lots of folks, like how back in the 70s and 80s, downtown was like a ghost town.
You went down here in the 1970s, it was like looking at ancient ruins.
Or that no one used to go out in downtown. Well, except for those who did.
There wasn't really like a super vibrant nightlife scene, but downtown has been a place that Latinos go to for a really long time.
Some will say it's loud.
That's part of life in downtown. You get used to it.
Others will say,
very lively. Except quieter than New York.
This is quieter than New York.
Oh, yeah.
And when it comes to the cost of living,
the rent is too damn high. That's, I think, a lot of people's complaints.
But others see that as a sign of progress.
You can just look at the cost of rent and tell us on the way up. So,
in a positive way or in a negative way?
No, in a good way.
And while many people say downtown is going through a rough time,
the pandemic hit and it kind of drained it of life.
Some of the same folks will say it's on the upswing.
The dodgier parts of it are becoming smaller. The arts district is becoming more broad. And so those are clear indicators that the city is revitalizing.
The thing is, all of this can be true. Downtown LA has gone through ups and downs. And like other cities, its urban core is still finding stability after the pandemic. But these conversations about the downtown area losing relevance and how to best revitalize it are nothing new in this town. This is How to LA, the podcast that explores how Angelenos connect with the city and its different neighborhoods. I'm your host, Brian De Los Santos. It's been a minute since we explored a neighborhood. We've been to Little Tokyo, West Adams, and Sylmar before. Now we're in downtown. But we're not going to try to boil down the entire area in one episode. Today, we're going to get into the history of those ups and downs it's seen over the years. In episode 2, we'll focus for the most part on one Angelenos experience of present-day downtown, living there and opening a new bar in the historic core.
If you think about it as a forest fire, we went through a forest fire downtown. And I feel like it's kind of like the sprouting of the new forest.
But first, some of downtown LA's history, which very much connects to its present. That's after the break.
Support for LAist comes from Latino Theater Company at the Los Angeles Theater Center presenting American Mariachi by Jose Cruz Gonzalez. It's the 1970s and women can't be mariachis. Or can they? American Mariachi is a feel-good comedy about familia, amor, and tradición that will send your heart soaring and put a bounce in your step with a wave of vibrant, infectious live music. On stage through June 9th, tickets and information at latinotheaterco.org.
Imagine if you could charge your electric vehicle at the places you already love to eat, shop, and play. Whether you're at the movies, on your weekly grocery trip, or running errands at your local mall, Volta EV charging stations are built around your day-to-day and located in your community and nationwide. All you have to do is check in, plug in, and go about your day. It's EV charging made convenient. Download the Volta app to find your new favorite place to charge.
And we're back with a neighborhood profile of downtown LA. Back at the end of January, How to Light producer Monica Bushman joined the walking tour put on by the Los Angeles Conservancy, a local nonprofit that advocates for historic preservation.
Our big thing is we're not a tour company. We're here to stop stuff from getting torn down. That's our mission.
Volunteer docent Robin Holding was leading the Past Meets Present tour with a group of some locals, some out-of-towners, and a good number of architecture fans. The tour starts at 4th and Main Streets, two blocks away from Grand Central Market, in an area that was once known as the Wall Street of the West. Many of the structures there date back to the 1890s up to the 1920s, when LA was experiencing a population boom.
LA is really characterized during this period by explosive growth, and it's kind of hard to imagine. I mean, in 1900, LA had 102,000 people. This is at a time when New York had 3.5 million, and Chicago had about 1.75 million people. So it was really just a tiny town in 1900.
By 1925, there were 1 million people in LA.
So just think about tenfold growth in 25 years. That gives you an idea of the building boom that is represented in what you're going to see today. That's why there's so many of these buildings from this period, and they all went up around the same time.
In the 1920s and into the 30s, you look at photographs of downtown LA from those eras, and there are super crowded sidewalks and packed trolley cars. But the Great Depression hit, and then World War II, which brought the construction boom to a stop. Any building that was happening was for the war effort, and that was taking place further out, creating new job centers beyond downtown.
When business started to come back, and it takes a while after the war for business to come back, it wasn't until sort of early to mid-50s, 1953, 54, 55, when downtown starts to come back, business is booming again. And at that point in time, people don't want to look at these old Art Deco buildings or these old pre-Art Deco Beaux-Arts buildings, because that no longer represents modernity. It no longer represents corporate power. And so basically, downtown just picks up and moves.
Where it moved was closer to the LA Central Library on 5th and Grand, and later, in the 1960s and 70s, to Bunker Hill, where Victorian-era neighborhoods were razed and high-rises took their place.
And all of these buildings that we're going to see today were just simply abandoned because nobody wanted them. No, corporations didn't want them, and they sat empty.
A big flash forward to 1999, and what you hear a lot about on the tour is something called the Adaptive Reuse Ordinance. It was a change to the city's zoning code that year that made it possible for old commercial buildings to be transformed into housing. It's also partly why we have things like the Last Bookstore and what used to be a bank, or a nightclub called The Exchange, in a building meant to be a new West Coast stock exchange. Adapted reuse really revitalized the historic core. On the tour, Robin notes that in 1998, there were maybe 18,000 people living in downtown.
By 2020, just before the pandemic, we had almost 80,000. So it had really come up a lot because of this adaptive reuse, enabling people to move in and create more of a more compact downtown like we know we need to have, so more people live close to work and aren't driving all over the place. And also just it's nice to have a walkable area. And right before the pandemic, it was getting really nice. You'll see as we go along that the area suffered a little bit.
That's why, in addition to interesting architectural details and stories about LA history, Robin also points out things like a corner that in 2020 had a CVS and a Walgreens across the street from each other. Now, the two spaces sit vacant with their windows boarded up.
So you see, as people move out and the streets get more abandoned and there's more problem with theft, the retailers have moved down. So it's going to be a big hole to get those wheels turning again and get everybody back down here. But it's hard to imagine just, 4 years ago, how lively these streets were.
Things are happening that could improve things for the better. UCLA made a big investment in downtown with its purchase of the historic Trust Building on Spring Street last year as a way to expand its campus to other areas in the city. And while the Ace Hotel moved out of downtown this year, two new hotels did also open up late last year. The city's also taking steps to increase affordable housing downtown. in May of 2023, the City Council unanimously approved new zoning rules that allow housing in areas where it was prohibited before. It also includes incentives for developers to build more affordable housing. While garment workers and homeless service providers have raised concerns about the new rules displacing manufacturing and unhoused people, the rules could potentially have a positive impact on the city's housing crisis. But it will take a while to find out. The plans are looking way ahead to 2040. In our next episode, we'll focus more on what downtown is like today and hear from my friend Alvaro Alpuche, who's on a mission to change downtown LA for the better by keeping LGBTQ spaces alive.
There is so much queer history in downtown. We're going to make this, we're going to make GTLA gay again.
Yes. Oh, yes, I love that.
That's next time on How to LA. This episode was produced by Monica Bushman. Our How to LA team also includes Erica Washington, Evan Jacoby, Manga Botel, and Victoria Alejandro. This episode was engineered by Donald Paz. Our executive producer is Megan Larson, and I'm your host, Brian De Los Santos. Support for this podcast is made possible by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe that quality journalism makes Los Angeles a better place to live.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.